Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, we'll be reading verses 13 through verse 16 this morning. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, 13 and 15, if you'll join with me on the evens of 14 and 16. If you found 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And let's pray this morning. Again, Lord, we bow our heads and thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, we pray that we'd have open minds and listening ears, Lord, and our hearts would be open to exactly what you have for us this morning. I pray that be a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this place this morning. I do pray that we prepare our minds and our hearts, Lord, as the special comes and then for the message to follow. In your name we pray. Amen.
Still, heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as countless souls begin to moan. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Depart, I know you not, for the names written in this book are the souls my blood has bought. Faces turn as into the courtroom comes the very seed of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him.
Thank you, Dan. Great song this morning. Dan's voice fits that song. I can't imagine somebody up in every knee to him is bowed. Yeah, in the courtroom. I feel it, don't you, when he's singing it? Man, it's like, whoa, brother. Have you ever been in the court? I won't ask that question, so won't go there. So, but anyway. All right, I want to speak a follow-up message to last Sunday's message entitled Common Ground. I want to speak this morning on the subject how to live on common ground. How to live on common ground, or as you'll remember from last week or find out today, how to live on holy ground. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the good song that reminds us about that future day when our enemy and the enemy of you and the Lord Jesus and the enemy of all truth will be cast into the lake of fire. You created that place for him, for the devil and his angels. You never created that place for man. However, Lord, if man doesn't get saved, if a woman doesn't get saved, they'll spend all eternity apart from you in that awful place with the devil. Lord, that your book teaches us that. So speak to hearts this morning about our eternal salvation, if we need to be saved. Speak to our hearts about living on holy ground, common ground with you. We need you. You know, help us in this hour, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Common ground. That's what we spoke on last week. Ground on which two or three or however many people become friends with each other. They develop a relationship that is at ease with each other. It's not tense. It creates a productive and mature and fruitful relationship. I gave you the scenario last week of two men. It could be two women. Could be two people flying on an airplane together. They've never crossed paths with each other. Miss Crowley, good to see you this morning. Bless your heart. She had been cooped up all winter, not able to get here. And I'm going to pause and say, I'm glad to see Miss Crowley this morning. God bless you, lady. It's a better day when you're here. Amen? I mean that. All right. Let's take it back on pause. Now, where was I? Huh? Two people on the airplane. There we go. Yes. And they never crossed paths with each other. They've never, ever met. And they come into the same row of seats. One's on the aisle. One's and the aisle. One's in the window or in the middle. And here they are together. And they're going to have a 4 or a 6 hour flight. And so now they're trying to come up with common ground. What is your interest? What do you do? What is your job? And they find some area of common ground. Maybe it's their work, or maybe it's their hobby, or their recreational interest. But they find some area of common ground, and that 4 to 6 hour flight turns into a time of dialogue and laughter and stories. And, well, you know, you ever think about this? And there's a fruitful and productive relationship, even though it may only last 4 to 6 hours. They'll never see each other again. At least for that time period, they had a productive time together because they found common ground. Right? Common ground. Now, these are the thoughts that I gave last Sunday morning based on this chapter and verses that we read with Brother Bragg just a moment ago. Common ground with God is holy ground. Look at what it says in verse number 15. But as he which hath called you is holy. Look what it said in verse 16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So common ground with God is holy ground. Wherever you find God, you find holy ground. Okay. Number two, I said this, God cannot change. It is written, as he which hath called you is holy. Now, that was true when it was written first in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. It was true when Peter penned it here in A.D. 60. It's true today because God cannot change. That is his nature. God is holy, so his ground is holy ground. God cannot change. Number three, we must get on holy ground to be on common ground with God. Holy ground is common ground with God. That's why Peter said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Look, folks, can I get good news for you this morning? God really wants you to be on common ground with him. So, well, I'm not a preacher, it doesn't matter. Well, I hadn't been saved but 2 months, doesn't matter. What God wants for one of his children, God wants for all of his children. And God wants you to be on common ground with him. And that's a good place to be. That's a helpful place to be. But if we're going to be on common ground, we're going to have to get on holy ground. So where do I go stand to get on? I'm talking about life. Lifestyle. Going to have to get on common ground with God. Now, I don't know about you, but my heart's been thinking about this message for a while, the one I preached last Sunday and today. And so my heart's been thinking about this throughout the week. My heart yearns to be on common ground with God. And I even asked the question last week, are you on common ground with God? Are you? And if you are, it means you're on holy ground. Because that's where God is. That's common ground for God. Are you on holy ground? I long to be on common ground with God. And there are several reasons for this. I'm not going to preach these. Let me just give you three. Number one, I want to please Him. And I think being on common ground with Him makes Him happy. Number two, I need Him. Remember the illustration we gave Brother Bill Graham, 2 o'clock in the morning? Police officer, off duty, breaks down, calls the 911. I'm a police officer. My car's broken down. Can you help me? Make this long story short. Sent two policemen out there at 2:30, at 2 o'clock in the morning. They found out the water pump was the problem. The policeman put Brother Graham in the squad car back into town, knocked on the door of the parts store owner in the town, said, look, our policeman friend has broken down. He needs a water pump. Can you help us? They gave him a water pump. They went to the mechanic's house, 2:30 in the morning. Hey, our police friend has broken down out here. The so-and-so gave us a water pump. Can you install it? In an hour and a half or less, Brother Graham was on his way with an installed water pump that didn't cost him a dime at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So how could he do that? It's called what, folks? Common ground. If I'd broken down, if you non-police officers had broken down, you know, well, you need to get yourself a motel, I guess, or there's a rest area over here. You can wait till in the morning and get you a water pump. But there was common, if you don't know about police officers, you know this. There's a fraternity amongst the police officers. And so Bill had common ground. Now, look, you reckon you'll ever need God at 2 o'clock in the morning? Reckon you'll never need God at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Reckon you may need God all day? God, help me! Son, you know, we're just not on any common ground. We're not on any common ground. So I want to please God, I need God, and I want to be ready when Jesus comes so I am not ashamed at His appearing. Which is what some of this context is about in verse number 13 and so forth. So today, after last Sunday's message on common ground, how to get on common ground, how to get on holy ground. Now before I make some observations about that, let me say this. Holy ground, or living holy, is not the result of some mental state or emotional mood. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean this. Walking around in a long robe, living in a monastery with morbid music and an enforced silence and quiet is not living on holy ground. That's not living on holy ground. Well, what is holiness? Well, look at it in your Bible here in verse number 15. Peter said in the middle of the verse, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Be holy. Be holy as opposed to being unholy. Now, folks, if there's a command to be holy, then that means there must be the opposite. The potential for the opposite is true too, right? It's possible for us to be unholy. Peter said, don't you be unholy, you be holy. Now, wait a minute. It is a condition, not just a position. It is a condition, not just a position. Hold your finger here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn back a few pages to the book of Ephesians. If you're getting used to your Bible, you just turn back to the left. Turn back to the left. You're going to come to Ephesians chapter 4. Put something in 1 Peter 1. We're going right back there. But look to Ephesians chapter 4 and begin with me, if you find it there, in verse number 22. Okay? Now, Paul here has been writing about how to live for Jesus. And he says in verse number 22, Ephesians 4, that ye put off, I hope you're looking at it and read along with me this morning, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So Paul says, you put off the old man. It's corrupt. Now, folks, I wouldn't call that holy, would you? I wouldn't call corrupt holy. I don't think. Okay? You put off the old man. Now listen very carefully. Everybody born, that little guy that was born last Tuesday about 8 o'clock in the evening, he was born with an old nature. A sin nature. Okay? Now he won't lose that old nature until he sees Jesus. All right? Now watch it. Everybody's born with an old nature. And that's in you. Now you get saved. There is a new nature. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Well, wait a minute. He talked about the old man in verse 22. Who is this new man? The new man is what you and I received the moment we got saved. We became a person with two natures. Old nature, new nature. Watch it, folks. Those natures are diametrically opposed to each other. The old nature's going this way, the new nature's going this way. The old nature's going this way, the new nature's going that way. They're completely opposite each other. The old nature is corrupt. The new nature, look at it, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true. You see the next word? Holiness. So if you have been saved, there is a new nature living inside your body. And God says that new nature living inside your body is created in true holiness. That old nature living inside my body was not created in holiness. It's corrupt. So inside my body, because I'm saved. Now you say, wait, you keep saying, if you're saved, because I'm saved. You won't get to heaven. You won't have eternal life with Jesus Christ and God in that wonderful place called heaven until you first are born into God's family. And you get born into God's family by trusting in what Jesus Christ did. He died, He was buried, and He rose again so that you could be saved. All right? Once you're saved, now you've got two natures living inside your body. One is created in corruption. The other is created in true holiness. And so watch it. Paul says, put off the nature that's corrupt. Put on the nature that is after true holiness. You say, you mean I can put it out of my body, take it out? No. You can't take it out of your body. But you are going to live under the influence of one or the other. And if I'm living under the influence of the old nature, which is corrupt, question, will I be holy? But if I am living after the influence of the new nature, which is created in true holiness, can I be holy? I can be holy. You can be holy. That's why God said in 1 Peter 1:15, be ye holy. Don't you be unholy. You've got the potential, child of God, to live after the corrupt old nature or to live after the holy new nature. So it's your decision. It's your choice. It's my choice. It's my decision. How am I going to live today? Am I going to live after the influence of the old nature, which is corrupt? Or am I going to live after the influence of the new nature, which is created in true holiness? So Paul says that the objective every day for the child of God, and watch it, Fred, you say, does this really matter? If you want to be on common ground with God, it matters. And God wants you on common ground with Him. That's why He gave us the new nature. It's created in true holiness. God said, now you've got the potential to be on common ground with me. Before you got saved, you had no potential to be there. But now you have potential to be with me on common ground because I've created a new man inside of you after true holiness. So Paul said the objective is to put off the old, corrupt, unholy nature that lives in us and put on the holy, divine nature that lives in us. And that holy, watch me, the holy, divine nature that lives in us is created in true holiness. So Terry Angel and everybody else in this room who's saved has the potential to be holy. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay, very good. Back to 1 Peter. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And look again at verse number 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy That potential's in you now because you're saved. Look at the next phrase. In all manner of conversation. You like to mark your Bible? Circle the word conversation right out to the margin of your Bible. Way of life. What the word means? The word does not mean just our talk. Conversation. You know, I had a conversation with Brother Woodward this morning on the telephone. We prayed together for our church services and asked God to bless and asked us to help us meet budget. Amen. That's always a good prayer request on a Sunday. Amen. So I had a conversation. But the word conversation here, watch it, it's not isolated to talk. The word conversation here is not only my talk, it is my walk, it is my way of life. So, child of God, God, your Father says, I want you to be on common ground with me. And I gave you the potential to be on common ground. When I saved you, I put a holy nature inside of you. Now you get busy and you live after the influence of that holy nature so that we can live on common ground with each other. Y'all with me this morning? That's what he's saying here. So it's a way of life. Be holy. Live on holy ground. Holy ground is common ground with God. If I want a mature, at ease relationship with God, I need to be holy in how I live. Let's say this morning. There's some of you who really have yet learned to enjoy your Christianity. It's just, did you ever put clothes on that didn't fit? Too tight or too big, and just, you know, but it's all you had to wear that day. So you wore it all day long, and you just kind of went through this whole day, and you were uneasy, and just, yeah, man, it don't fit. And it wasn't at ease. It was a tenseness and a stress and just an uneasiness that came because it did. You know why some of you feel that? Some of you, your Christianity, that's how your Christianity is. You're saved, but it's a grind. It could be you're not on common ground with God. Because if I sit down on the airplane by this guy and I don't know him from Adam, but in the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes, we find out that we have a common interest in a little baby named Carson Lewis. Amen. All right. So, no, I'm just teasing. So, we have a common interest. This 6-hour plane flight turns into a delightful time because I can have fun with this guy because I'm on common ground. I'm at ease. I'm sitting next to a terrorist. I'm not very much at ease. It's called common ground with God. And God says, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Friend, all manner. Do you think God means what he says? Well, you know, I just need to be sure that on Sunday I really acknowledge God and excuse me? It says all manner of life. That's Sunday through Saturday. 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. On and on and on. Be ye holy. Make your conversation, your walk, your talk, your manner of life, all of it holy so that you can live on common ground with me. Now, I titled the message, How to Get on Common Ground with God. So, I think I've established the foundation of what I'm preaching about in the first few minutes here. So, give me your ear. Let me give you two things that I think will help you get on common ground with God. How to get on holy ground. I'm going to tell you, you're going to enjoy your Christianity so much more if you get on common ground with God. It's enjoyable. It's not drudgery. It's exciting. It is not grievous. It's wonderful. But you've got to get on common ground with God. Number one, how do you do it? First of all, be mindful of your ground. Be mindful of your ground. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Do you see that? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what's he saying there? Okay, look. In those days, the men, especially, they would wear long robes over their breeches, their linen breeches, and those long flowing robes. And when it was time to fight or when it was time to run, or when it was time for a servant to wait on his master, the custom was they would gird up. They didn't want to be hindered. Man, when you get ready for a fight, you don't want hindrances, okay? When you get ready to run, you don't want to be encumbered about with extra clothing. So they would gird up. They would take those long robes and they would tuck them in to their waistbands and so forth so that they could run, they could fight, they could move about unhindered. They could be on guard. They could be ready. This was a, watch it, a position of readiness, a position of alertness, a position of action, a position of carefulness. So Peter says, be mindful. Be mindful. Your mind has to be active. Gird up the loins of your mind. Make your mind active. Make your mind be on guard. Make your mind be on alert. Be ready. Be careful. Any Christian who lives on holy ground has to be mindful of how they're living. You got to be thinking about it, folks. You got to be thinking about it. It's supposed to be on our minds. It's like Paul says here, or Peter says, examine your ground. Look at it. Is it holy ground? Think about it. Ponder it. Consider it. I got to tell you, since I've been eating up with this for about the past 2.5 weeks, Throughout the week, the days of the week, my mind has asked myself over and over again, is this holy ground? Is this conversation holy ground? Is this action holy ground? Is what I'm seeing holy ground? Is what I'm hearing holy ground? Is where I am holy ground? You got to think about it. You got to get it on your mind. Ponder it. Think about it. Consider it. Give some thought to it. Am I living on holy ground? What do you mean it doesn't matter? God told us to live there. And if I want to be on common ground with God so that if I need Him at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to have to think about it. Ponder it. Think about it. Give some thought to it. Look at verse 14. He goes on to say, as obedient children, as obedient children. Am I living like an obedient child of God? Folks, you understand that an obedient child thinks about his or her obedience? When they're away from dad and mom, an obedient child thinks, am I doing what dad wants me to do? Am I behaving like my mom wants me to behave? Am I living like my parents want me to live? There are some young people, God bless them, who have the fire and the enthusiasm to say, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not listening to that because my parents don't want me to. They're obedient children. They're giving some thought to it. And that's exactly what God is telling us here. If I'm going to live on holy ground, I'm going to have to think about how I am living. Now listen, to not think about it is to not care. And to not care is to say it's not important to live on common ground with God. Is that really what you want to say? Most people don't want to think about it because to think about it makes us uncomfortable. Is what I'm watching right now holy ground? Oh, man. It makes us uncomfortable. That's why some folks don't like to go to churches where the whole Bible is preached. Where the preacher gets personal about lifestyle. Preacher, tell me that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Tell me that He took 5 pieces of bread, 2 pieces of fish, and fed 5,000. Tell me that David killed Goliath with the sling, but don't tell me how to live. Just preach the Bible. I'm sorry, friend, but I got a whole book right here that tells us how to live. Got a whole book that tells us how to live. So if I don't preach how to live, And by the way, Paul said this day was coming. He warned Timothy and he warned Titus about it. He said the day's going to come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Well, I just want to go to a church where they preach sound doctrine. I want to go to a church where they preach sound doctrine. They preach about the death and resurrection of Christ and they preach sound doctrine. Do you know what sound doctrine is? Have you ever read the Bible long enough? Because he goes on in Titus and Timothy to say that sound doctrine is telling the men how to live, telling the women how to live, telling the children how to live. That's sound doctrine. But the reason people don't want sound doctrine is because it makes us uncomfortable. You know about the lady that came to Billy Sunday that one time and said, your preaching rubs my fur the wrong way. He said, turn the cat around. Your preacher, it meddles. I don't mind you preaching about the death and resurrection of Christ, but you start meddling with how I live. You know, you're messing with how I live. We wouldn't dare want to mess with how we live. We wouldn't dare want to think about the ground we're living on. That only is important if you want to be on common ground with God. Surely that's not so important, right? Right? Not important to be on common ground with God. No, I can handle this myself. Common ground is holy ground. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation and as obedient children. And then he goes on to say it even gets worse or better depending on your outlook. Look at it, verse 14. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. What does Peter mean, Brother Angel? I'm so glad you asked. Amen. Because now I can take a few minutes and tell you. He said there was a day. Now watch me. There was a day when you lived and behaved in an unholy manner because, watch it, you were ignorant. Not stupid. Ignorant. You didn't know. You didn't know. Did you ever go through a town that had absolutely no speed limit signs? And you wonder to yourself, you know, I wonder am I breaking the law or not? You get all of a sudden, it's done. Man, I'm going 45 miles an hour in this downtown district. I haven't seen speed limit sign one. And there's no knowledge. I'm ignorant about how the speed limit is. Peter said there was a day when you lived and behaved in an unholy, worldly manner, but you did it because you were ignorant. You were not saved. It wasn't that you were stupid. You were ignorant. You didn't know the Bible truth. You didn't know any better. You were unsaved. You didn't know the truths of God's Word. You didn't even know enough to be mindful. But now, you're saved. Now that you're saved, don't fashion your life like the lifestyle that you lived before you got saved. Don't fashion after that former lifestyle. The word fashion means form, giving shape to, fitting, or adapting. Here's what happens. People get saved and they now have a new nature created in what? True holiness. And they take that new holy nature and they fit it into the old lifestyle, or they adapt the old lifestyle to fit the new nature, and it's uncomfortable. It's not stress-free. It's not at ease. It's tense because God says, I can't be on common ground with you. When you're fashioning your life after the old way you used to live, say like what, Brother Angel? Like, you know, using those words that were profane, taking God's name in vain. And then you get saved and you keep using that same language. No, no, no. And then we try to clean it up with slang. So instead of saying, oh my God, now it's oh my gosh. Boy, it's quiet now, didn't it? Man, it must have hit a nerve. That's not even in the notes. So, Lord, I hope you know. You do know what you're doing. So, I can text people, OMG. Oh, I didn't say it. Yeah, but you meant it. And God's big enough to see beyond your text message. OMG. Tired of seeing that from Christian people. I says, change up. Be ye holy. Be ye holy. Like what? Like taking rock and roll beat and rock and roll syncopation and rock and roll chords and adapting it by putting, you know, God and Jesus and heaven and salvation in the words. And now we got Christian rock. Ho ho! No, no, no. God says, don't fashion your new life like the former life. The former life, there was no common ground. Now you've got that new nature in you. Man, you affix your life. Get it fixed so that we can be on common ground and make your music holy. Music, you say, how does this happen? How do you fashion yourselves according to the former lust? Like wanting our weddings and our wedding receptions to be like those that the unsaved people have, with off-the-shoulder strapless dresses and plunging backlines and see-through mesh and the bride and groom dance and the daddy-daughter dance and the DJ to play the music that was rock music in the 60s and 70s. Oh, but wait a minute. Of course, before it all takes place, we pray and ask God several times, in fact, to bless the whole thing and that He might get honor and glory from everything that's done. What kind of nonsense have we gotten into? And by the way, since nobody here right now is planning a wedding, as I know of this summer, let me just say that will never happen at a reception that I'm a part of in this church. You can forget it. It's amazing to me how we take moral people, godly people, and for one day of life, throw all the morals out. He said, we are attempting to fashion a Christianity that is modeled after the world. And trying to make it Christian by putting Christian words and things. What are we doing? We're trying to use the world, clean up the world a little bit. That's not what God said. I put a new nature inside of you. That new nature is created in true holiness. You don't take the old nature and try to clean it up. You get over here with the new nature and let the new nature influence how you live. Well, I'm glad you get on the teenagers. It's not just the teenagers who are supposed to work on this, be mindful of it. It's all of us. Have you noticed that just some things that I just happen to catch up on, not read or not watch, just catch by word of read by way of reading? It's fashionable now for older adults, single adults, to be sensuous and dirty, talking about the intimate parts of marriage. It's fashionable for older people to do that. It's fashionable for senior citizens to be dirty in their talk about the opposite gender. I'm going to tell you something. Where in the world did you get that in the Word of God? What have we done? Why would God's children want to fashion their talk like that kind of talk and bring it into the church house? Phil, you want to talk like that? Fine. Help yourself. But don't do it here. Find another place to do it. Because that's not holy, friend. Not at all. Get on common ground with God. You must be on common ground with God. You can't be on common ground with God and common ground with the world at the same time. He said no man can serve two masters. So think about it. Be mindful of what ground I am living on. Is this holy ground? Is all manner of conversation, all manner of life, is this holy ground? Is my talk holy? Is my walk holy? Is my music holy? Is my media holy? Is the use of my cell phone and social media and computer, is it holy? Think about it. Think about it. I said, boy, Brother Andrew, you're not trying to build a big crowd preaching like this on Sunday morning. I'm trying to build a right crowd. Let the size take care of itself. Well, I'm not coming back. Well, then just brand yourself. I want to tell you. But if you think for a minute that I'm just going to take everything the world has to offer, sprinkle a little Christianity in it somehow, with a few little gods and Jesuses and a few little Christian that and Christian that, and stamp it holy. No, sir. He said, I put a new... It's a new nature. It's not the old nature cleaned up. It's a new nature. Does that make sense? Do you remember? Remember Michelle Pearson before she married Joseph Maxwell? Many of you don't. That's a long time ago now. But Joseph and Michelle come every now and again. And her dad, Steve Pearson, lived here. And Michelle didn't have a car. And Brother Don was a principal back in those days. Whoa. Forget it. Got to go on. Number two. Forget it. Tell you the story next time, okay? Number two. Be mindful of it. Number two. Get serious about it. Look at verse 14. I'm sorry, verse 13. Are you still with me, okay? We'll be done, okay? We'll be done. Wherefore, when I said, Lord, bless this hour, that was just a way of saying, Lord, bless the preaching. It's not going to last an hour, okay? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Look at the next two words. Be sober. You know what that means? Get serious about it. Think about it. Now watch it. Think about it and then do something about it. Change your lifestyle. What? My lifestyle? Pardon me, but if you're saved, it's no longer yours. Clean it up. We talk about the good old days back in the 70s. You know what was happening in the good old days, friend? People were getting saved and bringing stacks of rock and roll albums and cracking them all to pieces and breaking them up. I remember the day when it dawned on me, I cannot live on common ground with God with all those rock and roll albums in my closet. And I had many. And that represented a ton of money. Oh, but not now. Oh, no, not now. We wouldn't want to get that radical now because we're living in the 21st century. This is the Enlightenment century. Now we just take the music and clean it up and put God and Jesus in there and we can play it and listen to it. God looks down and says, boy, I'll tell you what, 30 years ago when those guys got saved, they took all that Grateful Dead and all that other junk and trash and Rolling Stones and Beatles and a whole bunch. They broke it in pieces. We don't see revival. Revival doesn't start with the lost. It starts with the saved. When's the last time you saw somebody get rid of something? When's the last time somebody canceled their cable because they can't control it? Shut off it. When's the last time you started into a book and threw it away 5 pages into it? 5, 6 pages into it, and they're already using every four-letter word and taking God's name in vain, and some person has their clothes off. And you're going to read it? Well, that doesn't bother me. You're a liar, or you're dead. Well, you throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. I wouldn't want to get that radical. Well, you might if you want to get on common ground with God. Clean up our talk. No more OMG on the text messages. The places we go, the clothes we wear, change things. Change things. I got to quit. You remember, and I got more to say. Do you remember when Moses is out in the desert? He looks across there at the desert and there's that bush that's on fire. That wasn't unusual, folks. What was unusual is that it continued to burn, right? And finally, after several, who knows how long, he says, you know what, I got to check this out. So he goes over and that bush is on fire. It's been on fire now who knows how long. And it's not consumed. That's what Moses said. The bush is not burnt up. What's happening? And when he gets close to it, who speaks? God's in the bush. And God says, Moses, don't miss this. Draw not nigh hither. Don't you come any closer. If you want to come closer, you take off your shoes. The Because where I am is holy ground. Say, why do you have to take off his shoes? Because this little thing right here and these other pairs that are like this that I've got in my closet, they are my point of contact with this world. That's how I walk through this world. So if I'm going to draw hither, If I'm going to draw nither, okay? If I'm going to draw nigh to God, if I'm going to draw hither to God and get close to Him, I'm going to have to lose my point of contact with the world. Y'all with me? I have to clean up my music. I'm going to have to clean up my talk. I'm going to have to clean up my media. I'm going to have to clean up my whatever it is. I have to clean it up. Now, you know what? If this is the bush and it's on fire and that's where God is, and you want to live unholy, you want to live like a lost person lives, then keep your shoes on. But you're not going to get close. But if you want to get close, I think I'm going to change some of my point of contact with the world because I'm really interested in living right here. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to be. If that's where I want to be, I'm going to have to get on holy ground. Amen, church? Are you on common ground with God this morning? Are you on common ground with God? Let me say that I am weary of preaching my guts out on Sunday morning and then have the mentality in the invitation that Sunday morning is not for me. Sunday night is for me. I tell you when the invitation is for you, when God speaks to your heart. That's when it's for you. I'm not going to take an old nature lifestyle, clean it up, and call it holy. Because I've got a new holy nature. A new nature created after true holiness. Y'all with me this morning? Get on common ground with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. Help us to be serious about this business of living on holy ground with You. To get close to You. God, please speak to us. Move us. Help us today. Smite our hearts, Holy Spirit of God, please. I mean, bring conviction to us. We need You. We need to be close to You. We need to be right next to You. Help us to get on holy ground, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning in a very distinct way. He spoke to my heart this morning. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? I don't have time to linger on this long. God spoke to your heart in a very distinct manner. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate it. God bless you. That's encouraging that God would speak to that many people's hearts on Sunday. Anybody else? Pastor, I should have raised my hand. I've gotten out of the habit of responding in invitation time. Pray for me. Anybody else like that? God spoke to me today about something specific in my life. Pray for me. I want to get close to God. Draw nigh hither. All right. Somebody today said, Pastor, I am not saved. If I died right now, I don't know whether it's heaven or hell. I don't know what salvation is. I am just in the dark about it. I'm ignorant of it. I don't know. Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand, please? Wherever you may be sitting in the building today, just slip it up. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that, front to back, side to side, upstairs, downstairs? I'm not sure I'm saved. All right. Maybe you're here today, you've been saved, but never baptized. And today's the day you're going to obey the Lord and believer's baptism. If that's the case, you can come right now. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we can start getting you ready for baptism. If you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning, you can come now while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And Brother Scott and Linda are coming to help us this morning. All right, very good. Now, I'm going to pray, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord God, that we won't just let this come in one ear and out the other, but I pray that we will get serious, be mindful, and then get serious about it. Do something about it. Change some things. Clean up the life. Lord, help us to draw nigh, close, by getting our point of contact with the world less and less, living under the influence of the old nature. Speak to our hearts. Help us today. Thank You for these that have come to be baptized. Touch our hearts today. If anybody needs to be saved, bring them as well. In Christ's name.